All right. So I'm going to talk to you about maternal beliefs and determinants of child feeding behaviors among East Coast farm worker families. And I'd like to take a second to thank the co-authors, Dr. Joe Grivach, Tom Arcuri, and Sarah Quent. And I have no personal relationships to disclose. So I'm going to start with a little bit of background. Right now, childhood obesity is a great challenge and concern for the U.S. And we have a lot of evidence that shows that these children are at higher risk for cardiovascular disease, psychological problems, breathing problems. They have shorter life expectancies, and they're much more prone to be overweight and obese as adults. And right now, there's about an 18% of the Hispanic preschool children that are obese or overweight, as compared to about a 12% non-Hispanic whites. But if we focus on the children of farm worker families, it is estimated that between 37 to almost 50% of these children are overweight and obese, and these numbers are alarming. I mean, they're very large. And the numbers vary because research very different small populations, so that's why you see that large number. So what is the problem? The problem is that there's very little known about what causes these really elevated obesity rates among these children. But why are farm worker families special? Well, they're a very unique population in terms of where they're from. Most parents are foreign-born, and the East Coast, they're mainly from Mexico. They are unique in the sense that they are mostly living in very rural population communities where they lack access to basic health services, educational programs. They lack very green spaces and sidewalks, even though they live in rural communities. So there's not a lot of physical activity going on. And we also have different type of families. We have the migrant families that move from place to place following the crops when the seasons are over. And then we have the seasonal families that just stay in one spot and work for the season. And not to mention that more than one-third of them live in extreme poverty. So what we did is we conducted in-depth semi-structured interviews in Spanish with trained interviewers, and our inclusion criteria for the study was that the mother self-identified as a Latina or Hispanic and had a 2 to 5 year old, and either she or the partner or husband had worked in farm work during the past year for at least 1 month. And the interviews focused on beliefs and constraints related to the child feeding. And these interviews lasted about an hour and a half, depending on how much they liked to talk. And we conducted a total of 30 interviews with women that lived in rural eastern and western North Carolina. And we interviewed them strategically in order to have an almost equal number of migrant versus seasonal, boys versus girls, and 2 to 3 and 4 to 5 year olds. So you can see the numbers there. And after the interviews were completed, we transcribed and translated into English. And three different trained staff members coded the same interview to ensure agreement and accuracy in the coding. So then these codes were then analyzed and managed using a software called Atlas DI. And then the themes and patterns were then identified using group analysis strategies. So we would sit down and talk about the themes and the codes. So we found a few themes. The first theme is food identity. And what food identity was is what mothers value in the food and the feeding behaviors with the children. So basically the food choices that they made, it made them who they were. So if they ate Mexican food, they felt Mexican. And so mothers saw Mexican food as being traditionally made at home fresh with staple items such as tortillas or beans, things like that. And the Mexican food was seen as giving them more variety or choices. So this kind of goes hand in hand with the American belief of a balanced diet, because they didn't really understand that concept. And for American food, it was perceived as having less variety because they saw it as either prepackaged food or food not prepared at home or fast foods. And American foods were introduced to the children either at the pre-K centers, Head Start centers, and they saw American food as being bad for the children. Which leads me to my next slide. Food quality. They categorized food into either good or bad foods. And the good foods were either Mexican food or healthy foods. And the good foods were then categorized as those that were made at home with fresh ingredients and not prepackaged. And those foods were actually filling to the children, and they provided the energy that the child needed to play around and be happy. So if the child was not playing around, then he wasn't happy, healthy. And these foods also had protective agencies that protected them from dehydration and heat, especially in the summer because it gets really hot. And so foods that they mentioned were juices or fresh fruits that they would give the children. And the bad foods were those that were either not Mexican or unhealthy for their overall health, but especially for their teeth. And those foods were either the prepackaged foods or the foods given at schools. Some examples of the foods were candy, sodas, and foods that were not homemade. Finances. Well, anyone knows, if you've lived in a household, that finances plays a major role in what you can eat. And when financial situations get hard for these families, mothers make their dollar stretch as much as they can. So when they didn't have a lot of money, the variety of foods that they could purchase was cut down to a minimal. So they said that they would buy just staple items such as beans or rice or tortillas. For the children. And this is especially true for the seasonal farm workers, the ones that stay in one place, because when the season runs out, they run out of work. So their food insecurity increases, and they have to last through the winter without work. But also, limited resources was a challenge for both migrant and seasonal farm workers. They also said that frequency of eating out was either diminished or completely gone because it became too expensive even to go out to McDonald's or things like that. And the parents said that they always put the children first, so the parents would have to decrease their meals or not eat at all, but their children would eat. So as long as they had enough, the adults would do that. The families that have eligible children for food assistance rely on those programs. But the migrant families' eligibility is affected when they move from state to state because it's very difficult for them to get the assistance that they need or to reapply for the assistance, especially because there's the language barrier. Access to food, as I already mentioned, they live in very rural communities, and sometimes their closest food source would be miles and miles away, but they might not even go to that because if it's too expensive, they actually have to drive even further to go to the cheaper food source, or they might have to drive even further than that to find a Mexican store or the Mexican items that they want. So transportation also play a role in it because some families don't have a reliable car, or they don't have a car at all, so they have to rely on the neighbor or the family member to drive them around. And in addition, most of our families are undocumented, and so they're not very willing to drive very far because they fear they get stopped, or they just don't want to put their children at risk. And lack of storage and housing hinders their ability to store food and also to buy fresh foods for the family. This is especially true for the migrant farm workers because they live in camps that are very tight, very small, and they often share a kitchen. They share refrigerators if they have one. They share kitchen facilities, so it's very hard for them to buy fresh foods and keep them. Mothers also reported the time was a factor because most mothers work. So when the season is at its peak, they work 6 to 7 days a week for very, very long hours. So they reported that time was a constraint for feeding the children food that they wanted to make because they didn't have enough time to make it, or not being able to eat as a family because they would get home really late or get up really, really early. And they also had very limited time for shopping. And as I've already mentioned, most mothers work, so childcare meals were very important to them. And when we asked them about what the children ate at school or at the centers, they had very limited knowledge of what their children were eating. With the exception of those children that were at the Head Start centers, especially those at the migrant Head Start centers, they said that these agencies were very trustworthy and that they trusted that their children were being fed healthy foods. And this is because at the beginning of the season, they meet with the nutritionist, and they have some input on what they can give their children, and they send a list of the foods for the week home, even though they don't understand them. And they also said that the children eat their main meals at school, so when they come home, they are very receptive to the mother's food. So they're basically eating just at school because they come home at 5 or 6 in the evening. But those that had personal providers, such as like a neighbor or a paid babysitter, they actually had more knowledge of what the children were eating because they either packed their lunch or they had a one-to-one conversation every day with the provider. And the child and mother preferences. This is where the mom kind of got emotional because she said that the mothers would say that the children, especially those that were at schools, pre-K centers, started liking American food and started asking for it at home. And so they had to, they wanted to buy corn dogs or chicken nuggets for the children for them to be happy. And they also said that they not only liked American food, but they also started disliking Mexican food. So they would refuse to eat tortillas, or they didn't want to eat beans, and they wanted pizza. So this is where the mother wanted the children to eat Mexican food. They also, with the recommended food items, mothers would go to the WIC clinics or to the doctors, and they would recommend eating certain foods or eating less of certain foods, but mothers didn't seem to agree sometimes because they would say that it wasn't, they didn't know how to cook those foods, or they had to eat tortillas because that's just what they ate instead of bread, or sometimes they just wouldn't flat agree with the doctor because they didn't think that the child shouldn't have whole milk. So they would not all the time follow those recommendations. In summary, farm worker families, as we see, face many constraints in carrying out their preferred feeding behaviors because of finances, time, lack of access to the sources, or the child's preference, and their seasonal and migratory lifestyles that constrain them from feeding the child the way they want to. And definitely more research is needed so we can understand reading behaviors to design culturally appropriate programs so we can help them prevent or diminish overweight and obesity with these children. And I'd like to thank the North Carolina Farm Workers Project who helped us recruit some families, and Kirina Vallejos, who was the project manager at the time. Questions? Yes. The migrant Head Start centers usually just take migrant families, and those are usually Mexican, some from Central America. And so they mainly give the children Latin food, Hispanic foods. But the Head Start centers take anyone that would be eligible. But yeah, and that's why the mothers felt good about leaving the children there, because I think once or twice in the season they have a parent meeting, parent-teacher meeting, where they meet with the nutritionist and they say, "Oh, we want them to have burritos instead of hamburgers." So that input that they can give makes them feel good about what the children eat there. But the ones that are at the regular Head Start, I am not sure if they do that. Do you know? I don't think they do. Yeah. So the children at the we don't have as many in the Head Start centers, but the children at the Head Start centers certainly do eat hamburgers and sandwiches. Any other questions? Certainly both, because these children live in both migrant and seasonal, live in very constrained spaces. So they live either in trailers or in camps. And they do have a lot of space outside, but mothers don't let them go out, either because there are trailers coming through or pesticides, or they can't be outside with them and they want to be outside with them when they are out. So they just have a little 12 by 12 space to run around. So that's definitely one thing. And then when they're at the daycare centers, they do get a 30-minute playtime, but usually they're just sitting because, you know, teachers want to keep children calm. So that doesn't help. And then the feeding, and this is just my personal opinion, I think it's basically because they are in such isolated places and they're used to certain foods, because most parents are actually foreign-born and they're used to their Mexican food, their Salvadorian food, and they can't get that here. So they do what they can with what they have, which is not at all like Mexican food. Yes. Can we take another question? You can hold it for the end.